702.
The Aubrey Masango Show.
Live, online.
Smartphones, DSTV.
92.7.
And 106 FM.
Can you believe it? Dr. JJ Tabane, thank you so much for joining me this evening. I really appreciate it. What do you think,
hello,
man? Yeah, you well?
I'm all right. How are you, Bob? It's been a while.
I'm keeping okay, my brother. I'm really interested to hear your thoughts about the developments that we are seeing tonight, particularly in Gauteng. But we've seen some interesting developments in the Nelson Mandela Bay, Gqeberha municipality. Yeah. We've seen some very interesting things happening here in Gauteng. The DA seems to be taking all of the mayoral positions, perhaps even some of the more important speakers' positions. But some people are suggesting that this is a poisoned chalice. How should we understand all of this, Dr. Tabane?
Well, look, I mean, Aubrey, we have to live with what the voters have dealt us. The voters have dealt us hung municipalities, the highest ever since 1994, some 66 hung municipalities. And what that means is that no one party has won outright, which means that the voters, in a sense, are forcing those parties to talk together to see what are the best arrangements that would benefit the people.
Yeah.
And I agree with a lot of what people have been saying since the results on the 1st of November, that you need stability. You need coalitions that can be a little bit more stable, because the track record of coalition governments, particularly in the metros, has been atrocious. You know, I mean, Nelson Mandela has had four mayors. Tshwane was without the mayor for 8 months. The ANC had to take over 18 months ago. They've had several mayors. I know some of them, it was due to passing away. But nevertheless, still you had a change of hands of governance. So it's been a chaos, to say the least. Right? Whether or not we're going to come out of that would depend on the current coalitions now and how they were constructed. If you look at Gqeberha, you're already headed for trouble again.
Yeah.
Because that mayor won by one vote, right? And that one vote is of somebody who was absent.
Yep.
In other words, if that person came to work, you could have had a different outcome.
Yes.
Of a tie and then a rerun and all of that, right?
Yeah.
Which means that when they come to work on one blessed day, there may be a motion of no confidence that they can vote for and take that mayor out. So you're going to have a mayor there of the ANC, yes, who's going to look over his shoulder for the rest of their term.
Hmm.
You come to
what is her name? Yes. I think somebody, Eugene.
Johnson. Chancellor Johnson.
Yeah, Eugene Johnson. And I believe it's a she, yeah?
Yes,
yeah.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
So in Ukuruleni, sorry, in Bom, so the one vote thing, no, the she is in Ikurulene. I was talking about Nelson Mandela,
okay,
where there was one vote difference, right?
Yes, yes.
I don't have the detail of the vote in Ikurulene in terms of the numbers offhand, Bra Ops, but in Joburg, it was a good margin of 140 to 122, which, you know, speaks a little bit there of possible stability. But you've got to take into account the EFF factor. If you like, the EFF voted for their DA without their consent. But basically, whether they like it or not, the DA will then be somehow beholden to them to make sure that they stay in place, and the EFF doesn't take that same vote and give it to the ANC midway and say, DA, you have failed because you didn't honor 1, 2, or 3 of what we expect as councillors. So the EFF still playing the game of what we can call puppet mastery, Bra Ops. I'm happy that they've got one municipality they're going to govern, so we can see whether their bark is as good as their bite.
Yeah, I believe it's 2 in the northwest, Ditsobotla, and something else. I'll find out exactly what.
Metsimaholo.
Yeah, I think
in the Free State.
There are 2. So the EFF now gets a chance to govern, and we are going to be watching exactly how they govern and what sort
Absolutely.
Of levels of service delivery that they produce. I want to talk a little bit about the DA. I mean, it's a celebratory moment for them right now at 12 minutes after 10 o'clock. But I watch tweets coming through from former DA mayor, now Mashaba. Action SA president Herman Mashaba, who is saying that If the DA wants, I mean, if the DA wants to talk to them, they must bring the EFF along with them in any conversations with them. The DA continues to hold the position that they don't want to talk to the EFF. But it appears to me that the circumstances are now going to force them to speak to the EFF. Perhaps not in the city of Cape Town, because they've got an outright majority there.
Yeah,
but in the Gauteng metros, they are going to be forced to speak to the EFF, whether they like it or not, given that they were voted for by the EFF without their consent, as you say.
Yeah. No, even if you take that out of the equation, the reality is once you are elected mayor, you are not mayor for your party.
Yeah.
You are mayor for the city. And you, so you can't pretend to be mayor for this, for the people who are far away from the council, when the first citizens, the 120 councillors who are working with you, you don't talk to them. Mm. That would make no sense.
Yeah.
The issue is they will talk to them about governance and going forward, not about coalition.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So we shouldn't confuse the two things. We shouldn't confuse the fact that EFF, I mean, DA said they can't, they're not going to talk to the EFF and confuse it with when they are actually governing.
Mm.
They're not going to, they want to talk to them about coalition. They didn't want to be their friends if they didn't want to. But they have got to be friends with them now when they have to govern, because part of the chaos we saw, like in Tshwane, more than in Joburg, was that people were just being nasty to each other.
Mm.
I mean, how do you have a situation where a council fails to meet to a point where it's dissolved by the province? You don't want that.
Yeah.
Because if they did that here in Johannesburg, the ANC will come and take over by stealth through Maile, which was an illegal thing he tried to do in Tshwane. He'll come and do it here.
Yeah.
So it would be in the interest of the DA to talk to everyone, not just the action SA. And I don't understand what Mashaba is talking about. You know, he's a friend of mine. I like him very much. But I don't know what he's talking about when he says they must talk to them through the EFF. And that sounds terrible. Mpo Paladze, as mayor, must talk to everyone.
Yes.
If, in fact, if I was here, I would create a government that has other MMCs who are not necessarily DA.
Yeah.
Right? So that the DA doesn't take all 10. Because I'm sure they didn't get there by themselves. There must be other small parties that supported them.
Sure.
Right? And I think that would be a good thing of what we call a government of local unity. And I don't think Mpo must deviate from that. And it doesn't make her weak to actually appoint people from other parties to be in her executive. That way, as Mashaba is saying, she must leave the DA arrogance at the door. That part one can agree with, because that arrogance will break up the coalition, will break up and will make it impossible for Mpo Paladze and the DA to govern properly. So I totally buy into the issue of they must talk together. They will have to talk together and to serve citizens better.
Yeah, yeah. Give us a call as I speak to Dr. J.J. Tabane in his capacity in this evening as a political analyst, looking at the results of the mayoral elections that took place in the various chambers in Gauteng and elsewhere. What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts about the political machinations, the motivations, the issues around the sustainability of these governments? Just in relation to issues of service delivery, I'd love to take your calls about that on 011-883-0702 or 021-446-0567. Dr. Tabane, you are a political head. You love the conversations political in this country. And indeed, they can be intriguing, interesting, and many times very entertaining. And I get sometimes the sense that we get caught up in that. We get caught up in the intrigue and all of those kinds of things. But I imagine that the important thing here is the sustainability of governance over the next five years. We've had a harrowing experience over the last term of local government governance where, as you've said, governments have been completely dysfunctional. People were being nasty to each other, as you've just spoken about the city of Tshwane. The DA leading these various municipalities in Gauteng specifically.
Yeah.
Are they, what prospects of sustainable leadership and governance do we have?
Okay, so in terms of the political economy, right, you got a mix of policy and personalities, right? So let me give you an example of Johannesburg. You had three mayoral candidates, and I was saying to all three of them, I'm so conflicted because you are all my friends. But whoever gets to be mayor will be watching whether they will translate their kind words for each other. None of them had a difficult way to say about each other, which was an interesting thing,
yeah.
Right? Mpo Moerani says to me, you know, if I get elected, it would be great to have somebody like Mpo Pala at the SNMMC of health. Obviously, he was very confident that he'll be the one to make that decision.
Yeah.
Mpo Pala, Dr. Mpo Pala, wrote a letter that I found fascinating when Geraldine Matongo, who was the previous mayor who passed away, did pass away, right? Which is something very intriguing, because usually in the middle of an election, you don't be praising your opponent, you know, even if they pass away, because yeah. people still vote them because of their association to that party.
Yeah.
I found those two examples fascinating, that you've got two people, like Mpo and Geraldine, who work together on opposite sides, but created bridges that enable Mpo Pala to, not by the mandate of the DA, but by her own volition, to write and say, that was a good man.
Mm.
For Mpo Moerani to say to me, and I know that she may take offense that I repeat it, to say, should I be mayor, somebody like Mpo Pala, who's a DA, not ANC,
yes.
would make a good MMC of health,
yes.
and he was willing to lobby for that.
Yes.
I found that fascinating, and it gives me hope that Mpo Pala would reach out to Mpo Moerani, who will be the leader of the opposition, if he stays, right, to make sure that they fight about principles that of saving people.
Yeah.
Mpo Pala was giving an example that when she was campaigning in areas like Soweto, etc., where they found service delivery problems, even if it was in the middle of a campaign, they would refer those to the mayor's office, Geraldine, at that point. And they both agreed that let's focus on fixing those things for the people and not focus on the fact that it's in the middle of an election. I'm giving those examples, because I'm not talking in general terms.
Yeah.
I'm talking specifically because I have conversations with these people as people I know in other settings
sure,
in life.
Sure.
And I'm confident that they can fix this if they worked together. Because frankly, the citizens have demonstrated that they are heartful, and that's why we have so many people who stayed out of elections, because they've lost hope and confidence in our politics. And this may just be a step for me that could, obviously, there will always be politicking because we want to be seen as better and so on. But at least in the first 2 or 3 years, we hope that these parties can set aside their campaign, not campaign continuously.
Yes.
And
yes.
then campaign to fix Johannesburg.
I'm interested to hear your thoughts now on 011-883-0702 as I speak to Dr. JJ Dabane about the developments that we've been seeing in the various municipalities. I'd be interested to hear your thoughts also, Dr. Dabane, about what's happening in the Western Cape. The DA yeah. there has gotten an outright majority. They, I suppose, don't have the headaches, the coalition headaches that Gauteng is going to face. What do you make of the prospects for stable governance in the city of Cape Town? And look to me for...
Let's be fair.
Yeah.
You know, the city of Cape Town has been stable. We have not had, even when there were coalitions of multiple parties under Helen Zille, under Patricia de Lille, there's never been issues of council collapsing, meetings not happening, and so on. You can fault them about many things, whether or not they will focus enough on, you know, African areas and so on. And it's something that they need to take that criticism serious, because it's not just a politicking thing.
Yeah.
The Human Rights Commission, they have a thick report that tells you disgusting stuff that's happening in Khayelitsha under the nose of the city of Cape Town, under the DA's watch.
Yeah.
It can't be sort of brushed aside, right? But in terms of stability of government, and that, by the way, can apply to municipalities in the Eastern Cape, bucket systems in the Northwest, you know, sewage flowing to graveyards in Twying, which is quite a disgusting thing that I've been talking about over the last couple of days. So on that one, you could say there is what you call a lowest common denominator. All these municipalities need to get their act together.
Yeah.
But on governance, city of Cape Town has been stable. There's no issue there. The DA is a straightforward majority, and they must improve what needs to be improved. But there's no issue of governance or a hung council or even instability that's knocking on the door of Tabeja, for example, where, you know, the mayor there won by one vote.
Let's take some calls. Moshere is in Pretoria West. Hi, Moshere.
Yes, Aubrey, and your guest.
Yeah.
Aubrey, with the result that we've seen now and also the excitement, this is going to be short-lived. Aubrey, what needs to happen going forward is to change the electoral system, where we're going to see few parties participating in the democracy. We're going to see a number of demonstrations in the communities, and also those who are looking for position in the municipalities. And now they're out, they're going to mobilize, of which is going to disturb the issue of service delivery. This 5 term that we're going to be subjected to, demonstration, those who didn't get position, mobilizing, disturbing those who are trying to govern. This is not working. We need to change the electoral system in order to see democracy functioning and also service delivery given to the masses on the ground.
So you're obviously not confident, Moshere, that even as I watch Dr. Mpopalatse on television being interviewed left, right and center on her victory, you're not convinced that we are going to see stable governance in any of the big metros?
Not definitely, because if you look at the EFF, also, of course, they are going to push their agenda to say that this is what we want to see implemented. And if that is not going to take place, this is where we're going to see decision not being taken. And that is going to affect service delivery. That's why I'm saying what we see now with the DA winning most of these municipalities, that is going to affect service delivery, because EFF, of course, they don't want to say this is our policy, this is what we want to see to implement. And if you're failing, we're not going to attend the meeting, decision will not be taken. That is going to affect service delivery. And those who are not in the position of municipalities, they will go back into the community and mobilize. Where we're going to see more infrastructure being damaged, where we hardly don't have the infrastructure that supposed to be having in order for service to take place.
Moshere in Pretoria West, much appreciated. Rudy is in Sophiatown. Hi, Rudy.
Hey, how are you, Aubrey?
Yeah, good evening to you, Rudy. What's on your mind?
Yeah, no, I just want to comment Dr. Tabani there.
Yeah.
It's like almost he had the clairvoyancy gift. He was on ENCA, and I listened to him very carefully. That's long before the elections, and the anchor indicated that, well, the DA's candidate is Mpopalatse. What's your take, JJ? And he indicated, well, that will be an excellent choice for mayor of the city of Johannesburg. So moving from right from TV to radio, fascinating and interesting. And just before you respond, I just love your comment, JJ. And I think that is what the country needs more than ever. When you said that Mpopalatse commended, although they were on opposite sides, the late former mayor Matongo, to say, no, he was a good man, and they actually had a relationship of working together. And then you mentioned Paul Morani also echoed that to say, well, look, if I am elected as the mayor, I think Mpopalatse would make a good MMC for health. I think that is so mature and so resonating. And I think with the onslaught, what has been, I mean, where we are now with all these hung governments, that is a spirit that is just so resonating, JJ, and I think you've made a profound and prolific analysis there.
Rudy in Sophiatown, much appreciated. Profound and prolific, JJ Tawan. Tell me something. Tell me something.
Yeah.
I think what Rudy's saying there is true, in the sense that way before the electioneering, campaigning machinery started, indeed, you did make noises that suggested that you believed that Mpopalatse would make a good leader. Whether or not she was going to win was going to depend on But do you agree that this younger cohort of leadership at local government, as you've already mentioned, that they may be inspired by a different spirit of cooperation rather than of antagonism, that we can look to as hope as South Africans for a new day, a new dawn of leadership?
Absolutely. I mean, I was beside myself when I talked to Mpomo Erani, and he suggested, and I just sort of shook my head to say, I don't see this happening, suggesting that if he were to be mayor, he would argue that he could appoint someone from the DA, in this case, Dr. Mpopalazi, to be MMC of health. And he even says, I will lobby whoever I need to for that to happen. And he was talking, obviously, like I was saying earlier, confident that he'll be mayor. But the thought, as they say, is a thought that counts. Because you can't get that kind of expression from many ANC people. They would rather die first before they appoint a DA person to take a place of an ANC person. Because remember, when you appoint an MMC of health, it means it's food out of the mouth of an ANC cadre who will now just be an ordinary council. I think if we can get more like that, that kind of expression, you could get it from a Panyaza Lusufi. You know, if Panyaza were to be premier, I wouldn't be surprised if he did exactly what Mpomo Erano was suggesting.
Yeah.
Because the kind of... Panyaza got into trouble by saying that it was wrong to expel the EFF.
Or the current guys
who are leading the EFF, who expelled Julius and them from their party. He got into big trouble. He was called to be told to shut up. And this is what we need to militate against. So I'm confident that the combination of Mpomo Erani as an opposition leader and Mpopalazi as a head of the executive may well, you know, move certain things forward faster than if they were hostile to each other and they were not having the spirit of cooperation. I know that I sound like a pope. In the university, they used to call me the pope because I really... You know, I'm a prisoner of hope that things would become better, and they have to become better because we don't have anywhere else to go.
That's what I've been saying. That you know, we can really entertain the machinations, the intrigue, the interest. It's fine. You know, I'm happy to play in that space. Although that bores the hell out of me, JJ, because ultimately, the oxalai or kind of logic, logic. It's fine. It's nice. It's intriguing. But ultimately, we've got a country to run here, right?
And a country to build.
Absolutely. You know? And so for me, while the intrigue is lovely and it's intriguing, it's entertaining, and all of that kind of stuff, I'm hoping that leaders understand that they've got to lead rather than just entertain us. With Absolutely. Entertainment that sometimes takes us to very, very difficult places. So I agree with you that I'm hoping, and I'm wanting to find out from you, what can we do to encourage more of that kind of magnanimity and maturity amongst our political leaders to say, hey, Bafuthi, ultimately it's about getting service delivery to our people rather than cheap point scoring and silly games.
Yeah.
How do we encourage that? How do we make sure that political principles get to understand that that's what South Africa wants and needs at this moment? I don't care, quite frankly, JJ, who ultimately is the leader of a particular... Unless they are bent on making sure that South Africans are not given the leadership that they want. I think these are all capable leaders, yeah? But the spirit needs to be right, yeah?
Absolutely. I've been quite discouraged by the level of, if you like, arrogance of our leaders, especially when they are given total power, right? As you know, they're saying, you know, absolute power corrupts and corrupts absolutely. Right, and the voters have already given us, a first step ahead, which is to give nobody absolute power.
Yeah.
So they've clipped the wings of the politicians. Number one, number two, by forcing them into coalition, they have forced them to watch each other. So that's the second big step because, as they say, there's no honor amongst thieves. So if they were to be put together, they're not gonna have honor. And steal together quietly. When you steal, the other ones will try to expose you. And that's what probably will work best for the citizens. Finally, citizens cannot vote and then go to bed for 5 years. That is the worst mistake. We need to be able to strengthen our ward committees. I don't know where you live, or whether in the area where you live, your councillor has ever come to you, visited you, sent you an SMS, to say, this is who I am.
Never had that happen to me.
Never ever, isn't it?
Yeah.
I've lived in the Midrand area for 20 years, moved into the Four Ways area for the last 5 years. I don't know who's the councillor there. they couldn't give a damn about me and what I think.
Yeah.
And that's a problem. And in an era of social
media... A whole JJ Tabane, they don't care about that one.
Can you believe it?
On
my street, there are many accidents, and I've said, but why don't you... And I tweeted to the late mayor, Makubo, and said, surely there must be humps in this area. The way the taxis drive coming out of Deep Sloot into four ways, if you are not awake... You will end up in hospital, and there are many accidents in that road alone. And it's and all they can do is they want to rename it Winnie Mandela. Who cares? Rename it Winnie Mandela, but people are dying on it because it's the spot holes and it has taxis driving, creating four other lanes in the morning and all the chaos, right? And I'm giving that as a crass example of what happens to priorities when the people are not involved in saying sorry. We hear you want to name the thing Winnie Mandela. How about fixing it first? How about broadening it so that the taxis in the morning don't have to create four lanes? And then when you name it Winnie Mandela, it will be a worthy honor.
Yeah, nice legacy.
Place.
Yeah. No, I hear you.
Winnie Mandela. So I'm saying, more to your question, what can we do to strengthen that? Generally, voters have already set the pace. Let's ensure that we hold this what councillors accountable. The change of electoral system is a great idea, but that's going to happen in a few years' time down the road. And the fact that you're going to be independent hasn't shown that it is exactly what people want, because they would have voted those independents and local government in big numbers. They didn't. They voted for them, you know, out of millions of votes. They only got about 400,000 votes, and not a single independent person has made any significant impact in being a kingmaker or anything of that sort. So, yes, it's a good idea then, because we can have a brief for president in 2024 or whenever. But it's not going to be a panacea for all our problems.
Sure.
We've got to stand up as citizens. Finally, citizen movements, like civic society movements, must be revived, because our answer cannot be in politicians alone.
Yeah. No. Beatrice is in Stellenbosch. Hi, Beatrice.
Hello, Aubrey. It's Deirdre.
Oh, is it Deirdre? I'm so sorry, Deirdre.
No,
go ahead.
No problem.
Go ahead, yeah.
Thank you for a wonderful program. I've been listening all and nice to both your learned commentators.
Yes.
And I've learned a lot.
Yeah.
I'm 62, Aubrey. I'm a granny.
Mm.
I studied political science. I read. I watch the news. I'm fearful for our children. I'm fearful for my granddaughter.
Mm.
Where can we go? We've got nowhere to go, as JJ, if I may call him that, said. There's only the sea, and we can't live there for too long.
Mm.
What should I do in the next election? I'm like a tortoise. I don't want to vote again. Politicians don't listen to us. I've never skipped an election. I always vote.
Mm.
Steer Nason must go, and his crony. My Shaba confuses me. I had a lot of hope in him, barring his xenophobia. I agree, there are too many political parties. But if you look at Italy, in the years when I was at university, that was at the end of the 1970s, coalition governments were already in place there, and some artworks there. And that's me. Thank you.
Deirdre in Stellenbosch, yeah, I suppose those are legitimate concerns of a voter, of a South African who is looking at the political landscape, JJ, and is perhaps confused. What do you say to Deirdre? JJ?
Aubrey, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. I'm yeah. saying, did you hear?
No, absolutely, yeah. Absolutely. I mean, we're all in search of an alternative. You know, someone in my network sent me a scathing message this evening, which I'm not sure whether it's deserved or not, saying, yeah, you must be happy that the DA has won, the ANC has lost everywhere. Because people mistake my ranting for a hatred for the ANC, which is not necessarily true.
Yeah.
And continues to say she believes it's a betrayal for any black person to support white domination by the DA. It's a betrayal of those who died for the struggle. I said, yeah, the first betrayal was to steal people's food out of their mouths, man. You know, It's not about that, we must now have a theory of a perpetual ANC rule because Mandela, was in prison for 27. No. He said, he himself said, if the ANC does what the nationalists did to you, you must do to the ANC what you did to the nationalists. I think that was a clear ancestral instruction.
Yeah.
That if these people are still, like he anticipated they would, like Chrisani anticipated they would live in mansions and drive big cars, take them out. No apology for that.
Yeah.
Whether or not the DA can be alternative overall going forward, it's a different matter. That is a moot point. And we need to be able to say the politics are not our only answer. We got to every one of us say, where I have influence, what am I doing to change the lives of people? And not think that the ANC or the DA or EF is going to change your lives. Not when they are left to their own devices, Aubrey.
Yeah. Lwazi is in Mabopane. Hi, Lwazi.
Oh, hello.
Everything, Lwazi, what's on your mind?
Hi, Daddy. Yeah. You know, I wanted to give my perspective on this whole thing of the EFF and what is it? Action SA voting on to support Mpopala, Tanya Campbell, and possibly tomorrow Ronaldo Williams. I think although the Action SA they possibly think that maybe this is going to give them some kind of leverage over the DA over time, that maybe in 12 to 24 months, if they don't cooperate with them, they might vote them out, and the same goes for the EFF. I think that's going to be slightly different to us as the public for numerous reasons. The first reason is that in 2016 or so, when the EFF first voted with the DA and Herman Mashaba in Joburg and in Tshwane, back then the EFF could have given an excuse or a reason and said that, okay, the reason they took a U-turn and voted the councillor or the mayor out in Tshwane is because they didn't spend enough money on poor areas and so forth and so forth. So then people could actually say, okay, we're going to excuse you for that because you didn't know who the DA were, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
But this time around, if they vote them out in the next 12 to 24 months or so, people are going to simply ask them and say, okay, you already knew that the DA did this after the 2016 election, but you still voted for them again. So you and Herman Mashaba this time around, you don't have any excuse or any reason to have still voted with them. And I think this is going to do, the major thing is going to impact on EFF and SNSA on the 2024 elections, because in our eyes as the voters, as the public, we are not going to see the DA as the evil guys. We're actually going to see these so-called chess players like Mr. Herman Mashaba and so forth as the guys who are conniving almost against both the ANC and the DA. We are going to see them as these evil, people. And that's how whether you agree with me or not right now, I'm just trying to predict what is going to happen in the next 12 to 24 months. If they do actually vote out Mpopala, Ronald Williams, and Tanya Kemba, they are going to be seen as people who repeated the same mistakes over and over again because they wanted something in return. So that we are going to see them as the evil guys. And in 2024, a lot of people are not going to vote for them. And Herman Mashaba will no longer be seen as a good guy, but he will be seen as some kind of a conniver or something.
Lwazi, thanks very much for your thoughts. Much appreciated. Refilwe Ntshege, where's Refilwe Ntshege, JJ?
In Ekurhuleni.
Why isn't she the mayor? I mean, she's the person that won. She's
that's a fascinating question. Has been at the forefront of decampaigning Martina for
absolutely.
Weeks.
She was the person that was the mayoral candidate.
Why is she not the mayor? What a good question, Aubrey.
What happened? I mean, what do you hear on the ground?
I've not gotten onto my phone and my contacts because I just got off air. But I really am fascinated. And for some reason, it didn't, sort of the penny didn't drop immediately when they were announcing someone else as mayor. I will find out.
Well, the interesting thing is that you've been in these kinds of platforms over a four-hour show.
Yeah.
So what I'm getting from Pudiatsel, the grapevine, as it were, is that Tanya, this young lady that has now
Campbell, was
in fact put in that position because they didn't believe, the DA didn't believe that they were going to win. So they said, let's take Refilwe Ntshege and take her back to the legislature where she is now. And let's put Tanya there because we don't think that we're going to win.
I missed that development altogether because actually Nteke has been on various platforms.
Absolutely.
every week.
I've spoken to her. So
yeah, she's been an aerial debate candidate, debating all these people left, right, and center. In fact, I know that her team has been wanting her to come to my show because we couldn't get that right because there was just not enough time to have everyone.
Yeah.
Especially after Masina came to the show to sing his own praises about what kind of good work he has done over there. And then taking posted all sorts of things, sending me direct messages about the collapsing infrastructure in Ikurhuleni, you name it. I'm surprised she's not the mayor.
Here's the question now. On one hand, the DA is most certainly going to be accused of, I think Chester Messing sent a tweet that says, "This is when you order peri peri and they give you lemon and herb." That's the one argument.
I'm suspending my judgment until I find out the story.
I'm glad that you've just said that because here's the other side of the thing.
Yeah.
How should Tanya Campbell feel? To be said to be the candidate that was thrown under the bus, as it were, because the expectation was to lose. If she's withdrawn as the mayor of Ikurhuleni now, that they've won, having believed as a party that they weren't going to win that particular metro. So the DA once again seems to be scoring an own goal in this particular matter?
No, absolutely. I mean, I don't know what you've heard. I don't think she's going to withdraw because they threw their dice and then they must live with the outcomes. It would be unfair on her, it would be unfair on Refilwe to be chopped and changed because now circumstances have changed. This is the whole issue of seven leadership, you know. Because if you look at it on the other side of the coin, it's a situation like from the Mashaba one, for example. Is he going to remain a councillor or was he there for the mayoral chain and or otherwise nothing? Yeah. Same here in this case. Why didn't Refilwe stick it out, whether win or lose? And if lose, then stay to be an opposition league councillor. You know, so I think the die has been cast. They must live with that consequence and what it implies, right? Because other people may also say, oh, maybe they knew that she was going to win and they didn't want Refilwe because it looks like it was going to be too many black mayors of the DA in Johannesburg. I would excuse people who may throw that in.
Yeah.
But like I said, I would suspend my judgment and ring up Refilwe to ask for a straight answer about why she's not mayor.
Will you tell us?
I will definitely tell you. I'm going to ring. When I finish here, I will ring her because you are still up there up to midnight and you must let me go now.
For sure.
I will text you to say this is the answer. You can inform your listeners.
Yeah. Let's talk to Anonymous in Middleburg. Hi, Anonymous.
Hello.
Yeah, good evening to you, Anonymous.
How are you?
Well, we will. How are you, Anonymous?
Yes, first time caller.
Thank you so much for making the call. Go for it.
Yes, you know, I like the analysis from Dr. Tabani. You know, when one looks at what everything went wrong when every leader, including Mashaba, saying that they do not want to anything doing with the ANC, or they do not want anything to do with the TA, you know, everything like that, the Freedom Front as well. I don't know why could they really serve the people, to serve the interests of the people if they don't want to work with one another themselves. Because it's all in the interest of the people who voted for them. And, you know, when you lead, you do not lead those who voted for you only. You lead, you even lead your enemies and those who hate you most. You know, it reminds me of what Mandela, the former president, who said that you can't find any good leader from any party. And like you said, Dr. Tabani, that when the ANC, you know, behave as the National Party behaved, then you should vote them out.
Okay.
I'm thinking that, you know, with this coalition, it's actually what the people want the leaders to do, to come together and work together, you know, in this kind of, you know, diverse country, diverse people. They should learn to work together in the interest of the people. If they do not want to do that, where do they want to live?
But you would have heard Dr. Tabane explaining the anonymous that the refusal to talk to each other at that level was perhaps at the in the discussions about coalition governments. Once they are in governance, they have to talk to each other. I mean, whether they like it or not, they have to talk to each other. I'm not sure whether you got that.
I got that, but yeah. You know, when you outright as a leader,
yeah,
that you do not want to talk to, you know, you specifically say that you don't want to talk to whoever,
yeah,
then you are saying to me, if really from the ground I voted for the EFF, for instance, then you are telling me that you're not going to lead me properly,
yeah,
if you see me when I come there and you realize I'm an EFF person.
Yeah.
You see?
Yeah.
So at least the leaders should retract and you know, swallow their pride and say, you know, we would want to work with everyone as long as it is in the interest of the society, as long as we push the agenda of the society, the community.
Absolutely. Anonymous, thanks very much for your call. JJ?
Thank you. No, it's right in a way that says to build social cohesion, the leaders must lead from the front, you know. Believe me, these leaders have tea with each other even after their public spats. You know, I hosted these three mayors for a dinner before they went to debate. And you wouldn't think that these people are going to be tearing each other apart on the campaign trail. They do that behind closed doors. And then in public, they fan flames of hatred against each other.
Mm.
And then their supporters take that literally and start beating each other up. You have these shootings. You have got all these things.
Mm.
So it shouldn't be taken for granted that the leaders must lead by example and also call on their supporters to work together, because remember, if it trickles down, it means in a ward where you've got people of different parties, you could, in that ward meeting, because the ward meeting is not for the ANC, it's for everybody who lives in that ward. And in that ward, you'll have Action SA, you'll have Freedom Front, you'll have all these things. Imagine if those people arrived in a meeting with guns and they became violent. What are you going to say as a leader? You know? So the social cohesion must start, as they say, the fish rots from the head.
Yeah.
So if the head, in terms of leaders, people are rude to each other, they are not considerate, and they say things that are only fan hatred, then that's what's going to happen in the bottom eventually,
sure,
and we're all going to be in a mess.
Sure.
We don't want to live in a country where, you know, by just wearing an EFF T-shirt down the road, people think that I'm going to start beating them up, you know, or by wearing an ANC T-shirt, people think I must be involved in corruption. It can't be generalized like that. We must be able to understand that having all these different parties is a sign of a maturing democracy, and we must embrace tolerance of each other, you know, and the leaders must lead in that regard and stop campaigning perpetually instead of delivering services to people.
Yeah. The ANC seems to be the loser in much of this. The DA has got its tail up at the moment, I suppose, because of the various
coalition
arrangements that they've got now, the mayoral victories that they seem to be having. It appears that tomorrow we'll see Randall Williams become mayor of City of Tshwane. So, as far as those optics are concerned, the DA is in pole position politically at the moment. The EFF seems to be the kingmaker for whatever reasons, whether one agrees or disagrees with the reasons why they are pressing the kinds of buttons that they're pressing. They're in a comfortable position. We are going to see what's going to happen in Metsimaholo, in Ditjobotla, where how their leadership and their governance looks like. I'm looking forward to seeing how that pans out. But it looks like the ANC, if something doesn't happen drastically, something immediate, it looks like the ANC is heading for irrelevance, at least at local government. JJ?
No, not really. Because remember, we've got a PR system where their votes are going to matter when it comes to passing budgets and so on. Just if you look at Johannesburg, they've got a sizable, council team, you know, at some decent 38%, you know. So they are not irrelevant. And remember that whereas the EFF may be, you know, throwing its weight around, which ward have they won outright? You understand?
Yeah.
So in a sense, the ANC is relevant because at what level is where you're going to have to serve people. Humble yourself. They will take up issues of people, raise it to the level of council, get council to attend to those issues.
Yeah.
So it would be extreme to say they are headed for irrelevance. They are still in charge of 161 municipalities, let's just remember. Right?
Yeah.
So that would be unfair to say they're irrelevant. They took a beating, yes, and I hope they listen.
So the question is more about the future of the ANC, just in terms of their trajectory.
Trajectory is downward.
Yeah, and that's where perhaps the question of relevance or irrelevance is coming in, that the trajectory seems to be facing downwards.
Yeah.
The ANC leadership is not used to being in opposition. It appears to me that they may no longer be having the state resources that they've enjoyed for whatever campaigns and programs that they've had. On that basis, is the ANC's power at local government salvageable?
Like I'm saying, even opposition, but let's take the DA, right? Would you say the DA is irrelevant? Because I mean, they are 20%. ANC is 46.
Yeah.
ANC is almost double their size.
Yeah.
It really depends on what you do with the role that you are given, the die that has been cast for you. Let's take an example of the city of Tshwane. It's just chaotic and what have you. But overall, a person like Khosi Maepa, Dr. Khosi Maepa, who did an excellent job as an opposition leader of the ANC in Tshwane, he was not irrelevant at all. In fact, a lot of people were furious that he wasn't even considered to be a mayoral candidate because he was the ANC's best foot forward in Tshwane.
Yeah.
The leaders must learn that to be relevant is to be of service to the people. In whatever role you are given, right? You are an MP, do your job as an MP, right? Of oversight, of legislature, and so on. Some of the people who are MPLs, have never passed a single law to save their lives. And they've been in the office for years. You ask them, but you are a legislator. What have you legislated? They can't tell you. Right? Because in their view, they are there to warm the benches. So the ANC will learn how to be an opposition. By the way, there have been opposition in various municipalities over the last 5 years. And in some instances, they've done a pretty good job. They're not about to be irrelevant. Even if they lost elections in 2019, they will probably be a big majority of, or rather a big opposition party, an official opposition, which is recognized by the Constitution as a proper role, you know, to keep the government in check.
Yeah.
This thing about thinking that in order for you to resonate with the people, you must drive around in blue lights, must stop.
Yeah, it must stop.
They must stop. It doesn't even have to wait for that. They must take away these blue lights from some of these people. I mean, who wants to kill the MMC of environment in Johannesburg, really? They want to kill them for what? For rhino? For what? I don't know. You know, why do they need two bodyguards and security? Somebody was telling me it's because this VIP thing is a big industry. If you just calculate how many there are, and you know, one of the ministers who's the progressive chap who, you know, didn't want these bodyguards, ask them, when last did you shoot this gun? You've been my bodyguard for 10 years. Does this gun even work? You know? Because some of them really don't need security. Their security must be in saving the people. And I'm not being facetious or whatever. Obviously, you don't want your president to be, you know, held at ransom or what is it?
No, yeah, there must be reasonable security measures around them, yeah.
There must be reasonable threat before you just give every single person who's been elected a bodyguard, you know. But that's for another day altogether. All I was saying is, I'm answering your question to say, to be in opposition is not to be irrelevant. EFF is not irrelevant. That's a good example. They only have 10%.
Yeah.
you know, but they have shaken the landscape. Even if you may not like them or love them, they have done something to end their 10% presence in the minds of the people. So I think we need to be careful there to say, to believe that because you no longer have the risk, what will happen is that they'll steal less because there'll be less to steal. That one is good news. Then they will go and be humble and serve the people. And when they are humble enough, people will vote them back into office, like it happens in the U.S., where this year it may be Democratic, next election party, maybe Republicans. We need to get to that point where nobody takes the voters for granted.
Dr. J.J. Tabane, I'm going to stop the conversation there and thank you once again for being available to talk to us, even though today you are speaking to us with your political analyst hat. Don't be a stranger. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thank you, Aubrey. Always a pleasure talking to you. Invite me some more. We need to come and have a long conversation with you over there.
Hey, tada. Dr. J.J. Tabane, political analyst this evening, but also a host of Truth to Power on ENCA. Great conversation.